Okay, continuing forward in our readings together, we're in Leviticus 14. Leviticus chapter 14. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. Now he shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out to the outside of the camp. Thus the priest shall look, and if the infection of leprosy has been healed in the leper, then the priest shall give orders to take two live clean birds and cedar wood, and a scarlet string and hyssop for the one who is to be cleansed. The priest shall also give orders to slay the one bird in an earthenware vessel over running water. As for the live bird, he shall take it together with the cedar wood and the scarlet string and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the live bird in the blood of the bird that was slain over the running water. He shall then sprinkle seven times the one who is to be cleansed from the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the live bird go free over the open field. The one to be cleansed shall then wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and bathe in water and be clean. Now afterward he may enter the camp, but he shall stay outside his tent for 7 days. And it will be on the seventh day that he shall shave off all his hair. He shall shave his head and his beard and his eyebrows, even all his hair. He shall then wash his clothes and bathe his body in water and be clean. Now on the eighth day, he is to take two male lambs without defect, and a yearling ewe lamb without defect, and 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, and 1 log of oil. And the priest who pronounces him clean shall present the man to be cleansed, and the aforesaid before the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting. Then the priest shall take the one male lamb and bring it for a guilt offering with the log of oil and present them as a wave offering before the Lord. Next he shall slaughter the male lamb in the place where they slaughter the sin offering and the burnt offering at the place of the sanctuary. For the guilt offering, like the sin offering, belongs to the priest. It is most holy. The priest shall then take some of the blood of the guilt offering, and the priest shall put it on the lobe of the right ear of the one to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. The priest shall also take some of the log of oil and pour it into his left palm. The priest shall then dip his right hand finger into the oil that is in his left palm, and with his finger sprinkle some of the oil 7 times before the Lord. And of the remaining oil which is in his palm, the priest shall put some on the right ear lobe of the one to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, on the blood of the guilt offering, while the rest of the oil that is in the palm's priest he shall put on the head of the one to be cleansed. So the priest shall make atonement on his behalf before the Lord. The priest shall next offer the sin offering and make atonement for the one to be cleansed from his uncleanness. Then afterward he shall slaughter the burnt offering, and the priest shall offer up the burnt offering and the grain offering on the altar. Thus the priest shall make atonement for him, and he shall be clean. But if he is poor and his means are insufficient, then he is to take one male lamb for a guilt offering as a wave offering to make atonement for him, and 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, and a log of oil, and 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons which are within his means. The one shall be a sin offering and the other a burnt offering. Then the eighth day he shall bring them for his cleansing to the priest at the doorway of the tent of meeting before the Lord. And the priest shall take the lamb of the guilt offering and the log of oil, and the priest shall offer them for a wave offering before the Lord. Next he shall slaughter the lamb of the guilt offering, and the priest is to take some of the blood of the guilt offering and put it on the lobe of the right ear of the one to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. The priest shall also pour some of the oil into his left palm, and with his right hand finger the priest shall sprinkle some of the oil that is in his left palm 7 times before the Lord. The priest shall then put some of the oil that is in his palm on the lobe of the right ear of the one to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, on the place of the blood of the guilt offering. Moreover, the rest of the oil that is in the priest's palm he shall put on the head of the one to be cleansed, to make atonement on his behalf before the Lord. He shall then offer one of the turtle doves or young pigeons, which are within his means. He shall offer what he can afford, the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering, together with the grain offering. So the priest shall make atonement before the Lord on behalf of the one to be cleansed. This is the law for him in whom there is an infection of leprosy, whose means are limited for his cleansing. The Lord further spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, when you enter the land of Canaan, which I give you for a possession, and I put a mark of leprosy on a house in the land of your possession, then the one who owns the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, something like a mark of leprosy has become visible to me in the house. The priest shall then order that they empty the house before the priest goes in to look at the mark, so that everything in the house need not become unclean. And afterward, the priest shall go in to look at the house. So he shall look at the mark, and if the mark on the walls of the house has greenish or reddish depressions and appears deeper than the surface, then the priest shall come out of the house to the doorway and quarantine the house for 7 days. And the priest shall return on the 7th day and make an inspection. If the mark is indeed spread in the walls of the house, then the priest shall order them to tear out the stones with the mark in them and throw them away at an unclean place outside the city. And he shall have the house scraped all around inside. And they shall dump the plaster that they scrape off at an unclean place outside the city. Then they shall take other stones and replace those stones. And he shall take other plaster and replaster the house. If, however, the mark breaks out again in the house after he has torn out the stones and scraped the house and after it has been replastered, then the priest shall come in and make an inspection. If he sees that the mark is indeed spread in the house, it is a malignant mark in the house. It is unclean. He shall therefore tear down the house, its stones and its timbers and all the plaster of the house, and he shall take them outside the city to an unclean place. Moreover, whoever goes into the house during the time that he is quarantined, it becomes unclean until evening. Likewise, whoever lies down in the house shall wash his clothes, and whoever eats in the house shall wash his clothes. If, on the other hand, the priest comes in and makes an inspection, and the mark is not indeed spread in the house after the house has been replastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean because the mark has not reappeared. To cleanse the house, then, he shall take 2 birds and cedar wood and a scarlet string and hyssop, and he shall slaughter the one bird in an earthenware vessel over running water. Then he shall take the cedar wood and the hyssop and the scarlet string with the live bird and dip them in the blood of the slain bird, as well as in the running water, and sprinkle the house 7 times. He shall thus cleanse the house with the blood of the bird and with the running water, along with the live bird and with the cedar wood and with the hyssop and with the scarlet string. However, he shall let the live bird go free outside the city into the open field. So he shall make atonement for the house, and it shall be clean. This is the law for any mark of leprosy, even for a scale, and for the leprous garment or house, and for its swelling, and for a scab, and for a bright spot, to teach when they are unclean and when they are clean. This is the law of leprosy. Thus reads God's word. Leviticus 14, 3 and 4. And the priest shall go out to the outside of the camp. Thus the priest shall look. And if the infection of leprosy has been healed in the leper, then the priest shall give orders to take 2 live clean birds and cedar wood and a scarlet string and hyssop for the one who is to be cleansed. Last time we were in Leviticus, we considered the fact that we were to give thanks to God for the manner in which he makes himself so very real and caring to us in the every detail of our lives. We looked at the truth that God manifested that care and concern for his people at the very earliest stages of giving the means of keeping them safe from even the plagues and illnesses that decimated the surrounding communities. In consideration of those communicable diseases, it has been noted that even though the translation says leprosy, they were also dealing with those general sicknesses that caused rashes to break out on the skin, which included smallpox, measles, scarlet fever, and a variety of others that could wipe out the majority of the people in a very short time span. Therefore, God made provision through the inspection of the priests to protect and to separate those with the rashes from those who were not yet infected. None of the other nations had such required regulations for health and well-being. The Lord made known to His people that He would provide this protection even as they wandered in the wilderness regions, as we read earlier in Exodus 15:26. And He said, "If you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in His sight, and give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians. For I, the Lord, am your healer." Notice that it was promised by God that He would protect them from all those diseases that were common in Egypt and in all the communities in the regions in which the people were living so closely together. He would guard them, and He would be their healer. The focal point of our reading today is that when the people who had been quarantined were healed, there were procedures in place for them to rejoin their families and their communities. This showed that the Lord was being gracious in the truth that He would heal those whom He would heal. This was not only those under the general umbrella of leprous illnesses, those with rashes, but it also included those who had true Hansen's disease, or the leprosy that was so feared because of its disfiguring and painful physical effects. Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings 5, verses 2 through 15, where we have the narrative of God's healing of a man who had Hansen's disease. While Naaman was not an Israelite, but a Syrian, he was still healed from this terrible disease by God through the prophet Elisha. This showed that God did heal those whom He would choose to heal in order to manifest the truth that He is the Lord God Almighty. 2 Kings chapter 5, beginning with verse 2. "Now the Arameans had gone out in bands and had taken captive a little girl from the land of Israel. And she waited on Naaman's wife, and she said to her mistress, "I wish that my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria. Then he would cure him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus spoke the girl who is from the land of Israel." And when the king of Aram said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels of gold and 10 changes of clothes. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "And now as this letter comes to you, behold, I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And it came about, when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man is sending word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? But consider now and see how he is seeking a quarrel against me." And it happened, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent word to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Now let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the doorway of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was furious and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharphar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. Then his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, had the prophet told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then, when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. When he returned to the man of God with all his company and came and stood before him, he said, "Behold now, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. So please take a present from your servant now." There have been many sermons preached concerning this episode in Scripture, and much can be taken from it. The point we want to focus upon is that Naaman was healed by God, and that healing worked in his heart. The truth, as he stated, "I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel." This was a man who was exposed to so many other gods in so many other nations, but none of them could heal. None of them could deal with such physical torment and suffering. None of them could restore that which had been devastated and defiled and corrupted to the utter disfiguration of humanity. Only God alone, the Lord God Almighty, Jehovah, Yahweh, could and can heal. This healing was not just of the body, but of the soul and the spirit. This witness was so powerful that the account of Naaman's restoration was well known within the history of the Jews, as they recognized the healing power of the Lord God Almighty. The full focus was detailed by our Lord Jesus Himself, as recounted in Luke 4, 24 through 27. Luke 4, 24 through 27. And He said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is welcome in his hometown. But I say to you in truth, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when a great famine came over all the land, and yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." Jesus would not have used this example unless those who were listening fully knew the account as it was relayed to them. It was from their own history and the records of how God had manifested His healing power upon those whom He so chose to heal. It also highlights the fact that because there were so many lepers in Israel, they were not seeking God to heal them, as did Naaman. They were not following after the Lord, and neither giving Him their full obedience nor their honor. It took an outsider, a Syrian, to come to the prophet of God and ask to be healed by the God of Israel. God's own people were shown by this that they were neither honoring God, nor in the case of Jesus, honoring the very Son of God. The teachings of Moses and of the prophets and of Job were not revered as the truth that they were. The nation of God as a whole was allowing itself to become just like the other nations of the world, turning its back upon the one who had so promised them His protection and His healing and His providential mercy and grace if they would but honor and obey Him. The words recorded in Job 5, 17 and 18 were no longer the anthem of their hearts and beings. Job 5, 17 and 18. Behold, how happy is the man whom God reproves. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty, for He inflicts pain and gives relief. He wounds, and His hands also heal. They no longer knew God in this reality. They were poor, and they were wretched, and they were miserable under the dominion of Rome because they had turned away from the living Lord God Almighty. They had joined themselves to the practices of all the other nations surrounding them, and thereby had succumbed to all the illnesses and the vile diseases common to all those nations. They did not know the joy of the Lord as described by Job, because they did despise the discipline of the Lord and set aside in their hearts the resulting truth of God's reproof, His discipline, and His healing grace. The situation within the nation of Israel was so decrepit that Jesus, when He sent out the 12 in Matthew 10, 5 through 8, instructed them to go to the Jews alone and to seek the lost sheep of Israel. As we read, they were to preach and to heal the wounds and to cleanse the lepers and to show forth the testimony that the kingdom of God was at hand for those who would receive it. Matthew 10, 5 through 8. These 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them, saying, "Do not go in the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give." They were to concentrate on the people who had been so blessed from the very beginning. They were to draw their attention back to the fact that they were God's own chosen nation. Notice how they were to make that truth so manifest to the lost sheep of the Jews. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. They were to do all those things that God had promised from the very beginning of the nation that would show that His hand of grace and healing was upon them. The Son of God was here to make known the joy of the Lord through the free gift of God's own salvation for His people, and then for all the nations of the world through His own death and resurrection. The fact of the overruling power of God in the establishment of His kingdom was further recounted to the disciples of John the Baptist in Matthew 11, 4 and 5. Here Christ detailed exactly what was taking place as a witness to the manifested power of God. Matthew 11, 4 and 5. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." The work of Christ in healing and cleansing and restoring those who were so stigmatized from the rest of their families, friends, and neighbors because of their illnesses and their disabilities and even their physical deaths was the proof that He was the Son of God sent forth from the heart of God to heal and to save to the uttermost those who would but receive Him. The nation as a whole would soon crucify Him, but those who believed upon Him were the glorious recipients of His own eternal life. The restoration was not just with their society or with their family, but with the Lord God, their Creator, and the healer of their bodies, their souls, and most especially their spirits. He cleansed them from all their impurities as they called upon Him and turned from their evil ways. The Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, detailed exactly the fact that the kingdom of God is for those who have been washed clean from all the filth and all the disease of this age, sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ, and justified by His precious and omnipotent name. If you would please read along with me in order to have the fact reinforced in our hearts and in our minds that we owe God all thanksgiving and praise and honor and adoration and worship and glory for who He is and what He has done through the free gift of His only begotten Son. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians 6. Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Because we are now found in Jesus, all the sin and all the shame and all the disease of this world has been cleansed from us. We are free to give God the glory for the great things He has done, as that wonderful old hymn so beautifully proclaims. Our lives are now and forevermore seen in the perfection of Jesus Christ, always under the inspection and under the working power of the Holy Spirit to show forth the joy and the fullness and the completeness and the healing of our salvation. Amen.